peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. With the Lord's help, let us think about this part of God's Word and to notice that fruit-bearing distinguishes the true believer. Fruit-bearing distinguishes the true believer. If there is no fruit, there is no root. Someone tells you he or she is a Christian. You ask yourself in your mind, is this person a true child of God? Well, if there is fruit, then there will be the root of the matter. Is there grace in the soul? Well, we only know that if there is the good works of righteousness that come to fruition in the life and conduct of the believer. If there is faith, there will be the fruits of faith. If there is faith, there will be repentance and confessing Christ, as we tried to consider not too long ago. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lord Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. And so it is absolutely necessary to bear fruit. Those who profess to be the Lord's people, it is essential for them to bear fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so on. But if you say that, perhaps someone is thinking, then you are saying that we are saved by our works. Not at all. The fruits of the Spirit are just that, fruits. They are not the root. And good works are not the cause of salvation. They are simply the consequence, the result, the invariable consequence of true saving grace in the heart. You see, the Lord saves sinners absolutely freely. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, and so on. The Lord saves on the basis of his own righteousness, the righteousness of God that is revealed, that is manifested, which is given to believers. That is the basis of their salvation, the righteousness that Christ worked out. So he saves sinners freely without any reference to their own good deeds. But we must remember that God also saves sinners consistently with his own divine perfections. God is holy. And he saves sinners in a way that is consistent with his holiness and justice. Remember that when God saves sinners, he is bringing a people near to himself. He saves them freely, but also for fellowship, that he may have fellowship with them, and they may have fellowship with him. He brings a people near to himself. And we must ask, will God have fellowship with unholy, unclean, with filthy creatures? Well, he saves them on the basis of his righteousness. That's their justification. But he will invariably also sanctify them. And they will, just as they experience the grace of justification, also experience and receive the grace of sanctification. He brings the people near to himself. For free, absolutely freely, without any reference to their own good works, he saves them for fellowship, that he might have a people near to them, to him. And this means that he saves them for fruit bearing. He will enable them to bring forth fruit to his glory, and in this way, He has fellowship with his people. So salvation is absolutely free. It is for fellowship, and it is for fruit bearing. Part of the purpose of God's salvation includes the purpose of purifying his people. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, are we bearing fruit? Because if there is no fruit, there is no root. If there is no fruit, there is no root. If there is no good works, there is no saving grace in the heart. We read about some in Titus chapter 1 and verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in words they deny him. They profess, they say, that they know God, but in words they deny him. Their outward actions tells the world that really they don't know him, that really they are not his people. In words they deny him. So it is essential that we bear fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. All of these graces that the Holy Spirit produces in the soul, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. We all also must remember that this is the fruit of the Spirit that we are speaking of. And only the Holy Spirit can produce these fruits within us. Only the Holy Spirit can work in us these graces. And if we do not have the Spirit, we do not have Christ. We must have the Holy Spirit to give the evidence that we belong to Christ. And the only way to know that we have the Spirit is if we are bearing his fruits. And it is essential that we have the Spirit, because we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Do you have the Spirit? Do I have the Spirit? How essential it is that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And because it is so necessary to bear fruit, with the Lord's help, we would, in the following weeks and months, in the Lord's holy will, and if it is agreeable to his mind and will, we would consider each of these fruits. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The reason we should consider these fruits is because we should examine ourselves by these graces that are listed here. Do we bear the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Do we bear this fruit? Joy. Do we have this grace? Peace. Do we have this other fruit, long-suffering? Are we gentle? Are we faithful? Are we temperate? Do we exercise these graces? Only if we exercise grace can we know that we have grace. So we should examine ourselves in the light of this passage of God's Word to know whether we have grace in our souls. If we bear fruit, we know that we have the Spirit. And if we have the Spirit, we know that we belong to Christ. We should also consider these fruits that we might see their attractiveness. That believers, those who do have grace in their souls, might be drawn and attracted to these graces, that they might be encouraged to all the more to bear them to the glory of God. God is glorified when we bear fruit. And by our good works, we bring others to recognize that, and so they would, by God's grace, give glory to God and be brought over to the true religion. The unconverted should know about these fruits as well. Bearing the fruit of the Spirit is really conforming to the law of God. The law is fulfilled in one word, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 14. And part of the way in which sinners are convinced of sin is when the law of God is preached to them, when the life of Christ is preached to them, and when fruit bearing is preached to them. They would see how far short they come of the glory of God, and how great, therefore, their need is of the righteousness of Christ. Again, we are not saved by fruit bearing, on account of fruit bearing. Our fruit bearing, our yielding these fruits and engaging in good works, that is not the cause and the basis of our salvation. But there is no salvation without it. No salvation without fruit bearing. No salvation without the Holy Spirit working in us these graces. And so the unconverted will see more clearly their need of Christ's righteousness as the basis of their salvation on the one hand, and also the need of the Holy Spirit to work in them, to will and to do of God's good pleasure. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love does not terminate on itself. It goes out of itself and seeks its happiness in another and lives and acts for others. Joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost, another fruit of the Spirit. It is cheerfulness in the company of others. And it is another grace that the Holy Spirit works in the heart. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. It is that grace produced in us by the Spirit. There is peace with God through justification, being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When the righteousness of God is imputed to a believer, the Holy Spirit also works in the heart to give peace. To give the peace that passeth understanding. And the Lord Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. If we have received this peace in our souls, we will desire to have that peace in our lives, in our dealings with others. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be the children of God. And then there is the grace or the fruit of the Spirit, which is long-suffering. It is patiently enduring offense from others, patiently enduring injuries, it's forbearing, slowness in avenging wrongs, and when we forbear retaliating. And then the fruit of the Spirit, which is gentleness, is going a step further. Not so much a grace that is like long suffering, which is inward, but gentleness comes out, and it is that sweetness and kindness by which we accommodate ourselves to others and become mutually useful to each other. Then there is goodness, which is going even further. It is a readiness to give. The Lord Jesus says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is a readiness to act in helpful ways, to engage in activities that are positively helpful to others. Is a readiness to give, to be generous. The fruit of the Spirit is faith, or fidelity. You see, the context is very much the interaction of believers one with another. On the one hand, we are to resist conflict with others in the church, especially, and that we should have love, there should be peace, and there should be faithfulness or fidelity. And that is being honest and truthful in our dealings with others. And it is when we make promises, to keep our promises, and so on. And there is the fruit of the Spirit, which is meekness. Similar to long-suffering, it is patience in the reception of injuries, enduring injury with patience and without resentment, not being easily provoked, forbearing to retaliate. And it is somewhat related to humility, because if we know who and what we are, we will be less inclined to avenge ourselves. We would rather take the wrong. We are to exercise the grace of meekness. And finally, the fruit of the Spirit is temperance, or self-control. It is the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his physical appetites. It is a sober use of food, drink, and clothing, or anything wherein our senses are delighted. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There is no law against fruit-bearing. There is nothing to restrain us in the exercise of these good works, these to yield, to bear this fruit, to give ourselves over to God in the way of holiness. There is nothing to restrain us. This is the perfect law of liberty. As we were hearing in the prayer, it is not liberty in sin, but liberty in holiness and righteousness. Against such things there is no law. Now we should not think that a restraint is being laid upon us, because this is the way of liberty. We should not think either that we are seeking to produce something that we do not have. Or rather, put it this way, that is, we are not to engage in something that is impossible, for which we have no resources. Of course, we have no resources of our own. We have nothing of our own. But our point is, just as we began saying that salvation is absolutely free, so fruit-bearing itself is absolutely free. We are not to rely upon ourselves to exercise these graces. The Lord Jesus said, without me he can do nothing. And really what the believer is doing is simply receiving more grace in order that God himself might work in the heart and life of the believer, so that the true child of God may be fruitful in his or her life. Salvation is absolutely free. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. You have no money, you have nothing to pay, you have no good works to bring before God in order to expect his favor. Salvation is all of grace, absolutely free. There is the grace of justification, whereby sin is absolutely, completely forgiven, and the sinner is perfectly accepted with God to enjoy his free favor. And there is also the grace of sanctification, which is the Holy Spirit working in the heart. The sinner, the person is renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and enabled by the Spirit more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. So all of this is included in the covenant of grace. Grace is not works. Works and grace do not mix. Salvation is all of grace. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And fruit bearing is not of works, lest any man should boast. The Holy Spirit is given. In order to bear fruit, we need the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is freely given. And the way to receive the Spirit in order to bear fruit is by looking unto Jesus. It is by believing on Christ that a sinner receives the Holy Spirit in order to bear fruit. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The Lord Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. He was nailed in his hands and feet to the wood of the tree. Dogs have compassed me, and the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. The Lord Jesus says, he was pierced in his soul. The greatest suffering that the Lord Jesus experienced was in his soul. He poured out his soul unto death. Here's the hope of believers. Here's the hope of the sinner. If a sinner is to be forgiven and accepted with God, it must be on this foundation, the finished work of Christ, the one who gave his life, a ransom for many, who poured out his soul unto death. He was made a curse. He hung on the cross. The cross tells us about the curse. He was made a curse. And by his dying on the cross, he exhausted the curse. The curse is drained by the suffering of Christ. He received into his body and soul all that the curse included. And there is no more curse and no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And now, what is the result of that? What is the result of Christ dying on the cross? Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. And what is that? What is the blessing? Well, the blessing is the opposite of the curse. The blessing includes justification. Sinners are perfectly justified through the cross of Christ. Their sins are forgiven through his precious blood. That is the blessing of Abraham. He died on the cross that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. And here's another consequence of Christ dying on the cross. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the Holy Spirit comes into the soul by believing in Christ, who was made a curse. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. How will you, child of God, bear fruit? By looking unto Jesus, who endured the cross, who purchased the gift of the Spirit, that you might go on bearing fruit to his glory. How will you, sinner yet outside of Christ, be saved and bear fruit? For without fruit bearing there is no salvation. You are not saved because of fruit bearing, but you are not saved without fruit bearing. How will you be saved? How will you bear fruit to the glory of God? By believing in Jesus. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on Christ, and you will bear fruit. come to Christ that you might be saved. Come to Christ that you might have the Spirit dwelling in you. You say you need the Holy Spirit that you might come to Christ. That is true. Christ has the Spirit to give you. Come to Christ for the Spirit. Come to Him. He has all that you need. You say you have nothing. Absolutely true. You have absolutely nothing. Christ has everything for you. Look to Him to do all, to give you all, to be all that you need. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. May the Lord bless His word. Let's pray. Enter Paul the Lord, we pray.